have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Check the way I walk. Princess free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect. God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag. Okay. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah. Yeah, I'm from the streets. South of the arch, man. Where I used to drink, roll up, and used to spark, man. Now I got my head straight, shining like a million bucks. Christ elevated me, going past the ceiling, bruh. St. Louis fitted, God Squad t-shirt. Homie, how you doing? Pleased to meet you, this my rebirth. Addicted to the word, it's pumping through my artery. Faith on the meal, the swag is a part of me. Now my glow bright, soul's been redeemed. Covered in the blood, no shower, cause I'm clean. Done playing games, rid of the Xbox, almost flatline. But Christ made my chest pop, walked on the edge. The devil made me wobble, Jesus took the wheel. Fast forward full throttle, still in the hood. Got that street slang, mixed with the spirit. It's a G thing. Keep high talk, check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag, okay. Yeah. My Christ swag, yeah.
God Squad,
this my
bruh.
Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
Cartier.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Look. My whole style come from Christ,
yeah.
So own it? No sir, you can't put a price. Like bite on rice, I got his blood on me. To be honest, I just care about my guy, homie. And if I'm only living for him, it don't really even matter what y'all think of me.
Nah.
Opinions, you can let them be. I'm killing it, I let them see. The old me is gone. Keep the demons out my heart, then Christ found a home.
Yeah.
No more Patron or Nitrous. I might just give God a praise with my best. He's highest. Glory in here.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Put my trust in the Lord. I ain't having no fear. No, I don't have a care. Besides pleasing my father, tell any hater you see, man, don't even bother. Cause Jesus is my medicine. I ain't never hurting. Catching waves of his glory. Man, I'm Christ swag surfing.
Yeah. I talk. Check the way I walk. Been set free. Cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect. God just forgave me. Got a new swag. Praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag.
Yeah.
My Christ swag. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag.
Okay.
My Christ swag. Yeah. This my Christ swag.
Yeah.
My Christ swag. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag.
God Squad.
My Christ swag. Yeah.
Okay, I get it from my father.
Uh-huh.
Head to toe swinging on that word, that's a motto.
Yeah.
Used to be a up or down flipper like the Lido.
Uh-huh.
Roll with Big Frank and ST, old squad though. Now I'm aiming at the world with that blessed scope.
Yeah.
Hard repetition, stay flexing, holy rollers know. When you see that light shine, this ain't baby doe. He ain't got a VVS on him, what a freak show.
No,
but I'm close with my father though.
Nah.
I ain't Leroy, but the boy got a lot of glow. Took a whole lot of land out to kill his ego.
Uh-huh.
Missing my whole purpose like Shaq with them free throws. If you rapping vain, can't edify the people. Swag on 100, gaining speed, adios flow. And I'm top flow, reaching for his glory. You think I got some swag, Christ the one that poured it on me.
Check the way I
walk.
Been set free, cause my father paid the
cost.
No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag,
okay.
My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to Elation Radio. This is Mr. Cedric with Relentless Pursuit. How is everybody this evening? Well, I had a beautiful week. Today is September the 22nd, 2023. And wow, we've been doing this for quite a while. I had some wonderful things happen this week, but mostly I've been having to study, sit and study. I've really been thinking about some things. I've been had a number of the fellows call me this week, a couple of my pastor friends. You know, you think being a pastor and being a servant of God, you don't have as many struggles, but I'm finding that the deeper they are in ministry, the more chances the enemy has to unsettle the home and the church. You know, that the devil is always working. He always on his job. I'm telling you, if we as Christians, if we were on our job just third as much as the enemy is on his job, man, we would be so much better off. Man, our churches would be just jam-packed every time they open. I mean, who cares about just worshiping on Saturday, just worshiping on Sunday, just worshiping on Wednesday? They would be packed every time the doors open. But I know we live in the real world, you know, and we all have to work. We all have to do things. But I'm kind of on this kick because of myself. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I'm just myself. And I realized this week I have to really stay prayed up. I really can't let my guard down, because when I do, I'm telling you, the enemy shows up. Now, though I'm talking about myself, I just want everybody to know, I got three fingers pointing at me and one that's out, right? I'm waving my, just imagine I'm on a stage and I'm waving my finger, right? But we all go through things. And I tell you, one of the things I came through today, I was waiting for a call from the bank. And I wanted a lump sum of money to do some remodeling I'm doing on the house. And I was like, man. And they wanted me to jump through all of these hoops. This is how the enemy comes in. I'm like, do I need the money? I won't die without it, but I would rather use their money than my own money kind of thing. It's just a business thing. And they had me jumping through all these hoops. But after a while, I got tired. I was like, look, can y'all just tell me what you need, and I get all of it to you at once instead of having me keep calling y'all. And I realized after my frustrations had boiled over, they didn't give me bits and pieces just to be giving me bits and pieces. They did it that way so that they would have constant contact with me. Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. They did it so that they would have constant contact with me. I didn't realize this till after. Think about it. If somebody owe you some money, what's the first thing they do? If they ain't got your money, they start ducking and dodging. First, they'll make a bunch of excuses, and then they'll start ducking and dodging. And then pretty soon, they just hide all together, and if you don't catch up with them, they just disappear. That's how it works. But that's kind of where I'm going with my topic today. Because today, I had a question. After I thought about all those things that were going on, I asked myself a question. Because I get frustrated, and I try to go to therapy, get counseling, you know, just try to maintain, get on top of that. Because I can be, I may not look it, or I may look it and not say it, or sometimes I may not look it, but I'm thinking it, you know, all those kind of things. And sometimes I just come right out and say it. But, man, I started thinking, what happens when we start or we try to hide from God? Especially us brothers, I really thought about it as men. What happens to our society when men try to hide from God? And, you know, they kind of got to me a little bit, because I was sitting in my room and I was just thinking about that. And the first thing I thought was, hide from God. How many of y'all believe you can hide from God? It's going to be a theme throughout this particular podcast. How many of you really believe that you can hide from God? Start with why. Why do we try to hide from God? You know, it's kind of the same principle, the same example that I used before. You know, I know that when I don't want to be hurt, you know, I try to hide from people. When I do something that's embarrassing, this is really stupid, I want to hide from people. You know, I don't want nobody to see me. I don't want nobody to know that I did this thing or that I looked really stupid or, you know, and this is me projecting, right? I'm saying to myself, oh, that was really stupid. I remember a time when I needed to speak at one of the elder ladies at our church when she passed away. And, one of the mothers of our church. And she passed away. And I tried to write something down. I tried to think of some funny things that she used to say, but I couldn't. I just drew a blank on everything I tried. And I had like 4 days, and I couldn't come up with anything. So I remember getting on stage. And I don't remember everything I said, but the last thing I said was, let's get on with this homecoming and have a great time. Oh, how stupid. You know, I thought, oh, my gosh, I really bombed out. That was just how you gonna have a good time at a funeral? But it revealed something inside of me. You see, I believe that funerals are a time of praise and worship. You should be excited. That person is going home. That person is no longer suffering, no longer here being tempted by the enemy, no longer being persecuted. She's going home to be with Jesus. But, yeah, I still feel stupid because how am I going to tell her husband is there and all of her family, her children, her cousins, her sisters, brothers, aunts, and all the, everybody is there, and I say, we're going to have a good time. So I really feel stupid. I wish if I could have hit up under a rock that day, I would have. Nobody said anything to me about it, I will say that. So they were very gracious in that regard. But I wanted to hide, and I just didn't want to be seen for the rest of the day, but that brought me to, why do we hide? I think most of the times we hide because, one, that we've done something embarrassing. We're embarrassed. You know, we've said something and we've acted a certain way. Just the foolish thing in life. You know, I will remind you of a scripture, though, where the Bible talks about God uses the foolish thing to confound the wise. So sometimes when you do something foolish, it's okay. But back to what I was saying, so sometimes we hide because we're ashamed. We're ashamed of, you know, we told everybody we met the perfect mate and everything was going great. And then all of a sudden that relationship breaks up and you're ashamed and you don't want to be seen by a bunch of people. And you feel ashamed because you know people are going to be talking about you behind your back. They'll be making jokes about you. You know how it goes. You know, it's a horrible thing. And then the next reason why I think people hide or try to hide from God is because out of fear. We try to hide from one another out of fear. Again, going back to my example I used earlier, you know, people, when they owe you money, especially when it's a substantial amount, they disappear because they're afraid that of what you might say to them. They're afraid that, you know, how they're going to react. You know, they're afraid of a lot of things, but they try. We do our best to hide. We hide from bullies. You know what I'm saying? We go out in the darkness and try to do our dirt and thinking that we're hiding from people. We hide from our loved ones all the time. And I think the biggest way I believe that we hide from our loved ones is through the art of pretense. Right? The art of pretense. Think about this. People, they ask me all the time, hey, how you doing, brother? Everything all right? I'm like, yeah, everything's good. But my hands hurt constantly. They never stop hurting. I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, the minimum, which is not very often, is about a 5. Other than that, it's up on 18. It hurts so bad that I can, you know, sometimes I just can't even use them. But I walk around with a smile on my face because I'm so used to this pain in my hands. And people ask me how I'm doing, and I always tell them I'm doing fine, I'm doing great. And it's to me, I've gotten comfortable saying that. And then there are times when I just will tell people, man, my hands hurt so bad, they ain't stopped hurting in 3 or 4 days, right? So level of, you know, kind of putting on a false face, that fake smile. You know how we do. You feel like like trash. Feel like you've been run amok. You feel like you've been hoodwinked, but you put on a smile and you try your best to hide how you really feel. And then another way we try to hide from one another is, well, you know, I know so-and-so mad with me, so I'm not going to hang out at our favorite hangout. I'm going to start going somewhere else. And when they come by my house, I ain't going to open the door. I'm going to act like I ain't at home. Your car's right outside. They done knocked on the door, rang the doorbell, and called you on the phone. They hear your phone ringing in the house because you wasn't smart enough to turn your ringer off. They know you in the house, but you refuse to open the door. So you hide from people. You change your location. You go somewhere else. And then again, my favorite way when you meet people, and this is the tricky way right here. This is real tricky. When you meet somebody and you know they're going through and you love them and you want to help them, but they put on all these different airs, these different personalities. They dress up. They get all happy. They go get the hair did or done, buy a new suit, get it tailored, go buy a new car. They master their shame and their pain, their embarrassment and all their fears. They mask it in things. And we, you know, I hate to say we all do it, but a lot of us do that. And I just think that's really not what God meant for us. You know, to answer your question, the original question I asked, and you may hear me tapping on my laptop because today I'm going to look up my scriptures on my laptop. I didn't print anything off. But to answer that question about earlier, can we hide from God or why do we hide from God? I just want to tell you, there's no hiding from God. We cannot hide from God. You don't believe me? I'm going to pull up Proverbs 15, let's go 3. I think that's what it is. Proverbs 15:3. Proverbs 15:3 says, the Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. But I want to call your attention. The Lord is watching everywhere. You know what everywhere means? It means you ain't got a place you can hide. There's nowhere you can go. There's no rock you can crawl up under. There's no building you can climb on top of. There's no mountain you can crawl on. None of that. You cannot hide from God. And that's what the scripture says. I want to read a little bit more of that scripture because I just really, when I read it earlier, I really liked it. But before I finish reading, I want to go ahead and make sure I got Jason on with me. I need to ask him a couple of questions here. Jason, you on with me today? Holler at me when you get here. I wanted to read that Proverbs chapter 15. I won't read the entire chapter. There's some things in here that I really like.
Hey, Dennis, how you doing today, man? I'm good,
sir.
Right. How you doing today?
Doing all right, man. Just having a little chat about how we try to hide from God. about to
that
read Proverbs 15. Yeah, that's futile effort. Yeah, you know how we do. And the question, you know, when I started out was, can we hide from God? Of course, we know the ultimate answer is we can't hide from God. So I was reading out of Proverbs. I started at 3, but I'm going to go to 1. It says Proverbs 15:1. It says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Only a fool despises a parent's discipline. Whoever learns from correction is wise. There is treasure in the house of the godly, but the earnings of the wicked bring trouble. I'm going to skip down just a little bit. I'm going to skip down from verse 6. I want to go to, I think I'm in the right one here. Hold on one moment. And actually, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there for a reason, because I'm actually reading the wrong passage for what I wanted to talk about. But that's okay. That's okay. Jason, while I'm looking up that, have you ever had an experience where you decided that you needed to hide yourself from God, from people, from things? Have you ever had an experience like that?
I can tell you, back in high school, I think I was like a freshman or sophomore, I accidentally dented the dude's car, and it was a big dude. So I spent majority of my sophomore year hiding from him. And see, that's sometimes the reason why we hide. Sometimes it's fear, right?
So wait a minute, you backed into his car, you just bumped in.
It was a silly, I was messing around. I wasn't even in a car. I was messing around, and I accidentally kicked his car, and I kicked it pretty hard and put a dent in it. It was truly an accident. I think I was messing around with a couple of friends of mine, and you know, sometimes when you get pushed, your leg flails, and my leg flails happened to catch his car, and it was a really big dude. He was like one of I think I was a freshman or sophomore, and he was on varsity, and he was like a five-star, four-star recruit. I mean, just big, and I'm like, and then I heard, oh, he's looking for whoever dented his car. You know, I'm sitting here running scared. I mean, to the point where I would late to class, because if I see him walking down the hallway, I would go a totally different direction, 10 minutes out of my way to get to class. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So,
okay,
that was
did
my
he ever
moment.
See you? As you were hiding, did he ever see you? Did
you know
he
what's
know
funny?
That you were hiding from him?
He didn't know I was hiding from him. And the funny thing about it, when I come to find out, because I think later on in the year, you know, I finally had a chance to run into him, and he's like, man, don't worry about that. Yeah, I got that bust out, no big deal. So here I am running in fear for no reason, hiding and running in fear for absolutely no reason. So, yeah, that's my hiding moment.
That's funny. I never heard you talk about that before. But you know what's funny about that? I found part of that scripture I wanted. It was Jeremiah 23:24. I'm going to read 23 and 24. It says, "Am I God who is only close at hand? Says the Lord. No, I'm far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth? Says the Lord." See, you can't hide from God. He sees everything. He knows everything. And some of the things, I mean, what even makes us think that we can hide from God? Have you ever come across, somebody that's done something, Jason, and all of a sudden, all of a sudden, they just don't want to show their face no more. You at the church, and all of a sudden, you just got these ghost members. They never show up anymore. And my question is, why do we run like that? Why do we hide like that? Don't we trust the word of God? Don't we trust God's people? That's in your example.
So I would tell you.
Example. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think to the point, you know, a lot of times when we hide and we don't show ourselves, it's irrational. It's not based on any type of rational knowledge or information. It's these irrational fears of various things that cause us to hide, especially when we hide from God, right? You know, we convince ourselves that, oh, you know, this is, I'm bad for this, or, you know, no one can love me for this. God to be upset with me at this. You know, now with the church people, you know, sometimes, you know, there might be some trueness to that, right? Because we sometimes forget that church people are human too, and they may pass judgment on us, right? And that becomes difficult, right? So I think, you know,
yeah.
I think, you know, when we talk about hiding, that's typically because of those irrational fears that we have, thinking that things are going to be a lot worse than what they really are, similar to my example, right? I'm thinking this dude's going to see me on site and just, you know, bash my head in, and, you know, and here I am going to deal with that. But it was straight up irrational fear I had.
It seemed like a good idea at the time, huh? You know what's funny? I'm going to tell you a story, and I am so mad about this. The exact same scenario. Check this out, Jason. And I'm going to tell you, you know God must have really been working yesterday. So yesterday, you know, I'm having part of my house remodeled, right? So I went to Lowe's, and I ordered all these supplies, and they brought them over. Well, my car was in the driveway, so I pulled my car out of the driveway and parked it in front of my neighbor, my next-door neighbor. And they dropped all the supplies and loads they took off. And so I was talking to one of my renters downstairs, and I was probably 100 feet from my car at that point. Well, a neighbor across the street backs his little pickup. He's got a little Nissan pickup truck, and he backs into the front of my brand-new Mercedes. Yeah, and I didn't hear it. I didn't even see it because my back was to him. And so the tenant that I was talking to said, hey, what's going on? And I turned around. I was like, the guy was looking at my car. He was all down, you know, squatted down. So I'm walking up like, hey. I said, hey, how you doing, man? What's going on? He said, and he looked me right in the face. He says, I backed into your car. Ah, man, it was nothing but God, because you know what, I didn't even get mad. I walked around to the front, and he was trying to look for where he hit it, and I'm thinking to myself, you see this big old giant, you know, pushed in part of my front grill. You know what, a big three-point star is in the middle? You know how it lights up at night? Well, it don't light up no more. And he backed right into it, broke the grill, got a big scratch on the quarter panel on the top. I said, but you know what? Tell you it was all God, because I was cool. But the point I want to make is he didn't try to run. He didn't try to hide. As a matter of fact, he said to me in a very sarcastic manner, well, I wasn't going to run and hide. If you were in the house, I would have just came and told you. And I had to remember this guy's from California. And he's got that whole surf attitude. You know what I'm talking about. You know that whole, what up, dude, that whole valley girl thing going on. He's an okay guy. He's a nice guy. He's an older guy. But I didn't get mad at him. Though I was mad, I put on a false face because I really was upset. But then I started, as I talked to him more and more, I started to realize that this is just a car. This can be fixed. What we would have a harder time fixing is if I went off on this guy and hit him on the top of the head. And I started thinking to myself, why would you even think like that? Why would you even go there? You know, and I like to think that was God chastising me for my ill thoughts. Even though I never said it was my ill thoughts. But the point I wanted to make was this guy didn't run. He didn't hide. As a matter of fact, he gave me his insurance card and said, I'm sorry, man. I apologize. I just didn't see it. And I don't know how you miss a big old black car sitting out in broad daylight. It was only like 11 or 12 o'clock, sun shining bright. Ain't no rain clouds, but he hit it. And so the lesson I got out of that as we talk here today was, again, there's no need to run and hide, because even if he would have drove off, my cameras had come on in my car and it had his license plate and it showed the impact. So, you know, we were going to find him anyway, right? But he just lives right across the street from me. And he didn't run. He didn't hide. Why can't we be like that with God? This guy had no fear of retribution for me at all. Because he was so calm and casual about it, I was calm and casual. I think the harshest thing I said was, well, it's just a car I like very much. But you got insurance, right? He was like, oh, yeah. And you know what? Nobody ever got upset. Nobody ever did anything. Why can't we be like that with God? Why can't we be like that with one another? Why is that so difficult? Why is it so difficult for us to go to God?
I think you said it already. I think when you talk about, you know, when you said, like, he didn't have any fear, and I think that's the thing, right? Our fears, our concerns, our insecurities are the things that keep us from, you know, from people, from God himself, because, you know, the thought is, oh, man, what's going to happen to me if this happens, right? There was this movie, After Earth, and it talks about fear, and it describes fear as an event that has not happened and may never happen. And even though it hasn't, it's just a thought in our head. But that thought becomes real to us, and it elicits these different feelings. From there, respond to them. So I think when you say we hide because we live in fear. And then the next question you have to ask yourself, especially if you're a believer, well, if I'm a believer, I've been delivered from fear. I've been delivered from all this, right? And I think it's a great moment. It could potentially be a great moment in your growth when you face something and you're like, oh, I'm going to hide from God. But then if you can challenge yourself to like, wait a second, I'm a Christian. I don't have to live in fear of anything, right? And then lean on your faith to kind of reconnect, and then let that be an opportunity for growth and development. But, yeah, most times, just like I said, you said it yourself, it's that fear. You know, he was fearless, so he stood there and was going to take whatever happened, right? Now, some people are fearful, and they're like, I don't want people to know the truth. You know, I don't want God to see me like this.
But you know, like Genesis 3. Now you know where I'm going with this one, right? I'm gonna read 1-13. I'm gonna try to read it not too fast, but not too slow. Again, I'm reading the NLT version. But check this out, because I think I know this is what we do when it comes to God. And Genesis 3:1 starts. It says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals of the." All the wild animals the Lord had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat of it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." And now listen to this. Y'all know how we had that voice in our head, but she had the serpent talking directly to her. "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and uh-oh." You know, he got her to rationalize that in her own mind. That's just contemplating. She's thinking. And Genesis 3:6 says, "The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband," you know, because he was right there with her, right, "who was with her, and he ate it too." Verse 7 says, "At that moment their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. They sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees." How many of us do that? We know we done just done wrong, but we want to go hide. This ain't your mom and daddy. You can try to hide from mom and dad, but they even know you got to come out. Why? Because you got to eat, right? So it says that then the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" I commanded you not to eat. I gave you an order, right? The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." The Lord asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." You know what? That's another thing we do. When we do wrong, we want to run and hide. We want to make excuses for our actions. We want to make the example I gave you about the guy who hit my car, he didn't make any excuses. He just told me, "Man, I just didn't see it." Now, I don't know how you don't see a big old car sitting out on the side of the road, but he didn't see it, he said, and he hit it. So the thing is, the point I want to make out of that is Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. They were not successful. So what makes us think that we can be successful hiding from God? See, I want to answer the question. You can't hide from God. And when we as men, especially us as men, when we start to hide from God, things just go haywire. When we stand by and allow the serpent to speak to our wives, things get out of order. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Things are just out of order. They go haywire. things go bad, while we're walking around with this false faith and we're walking around trying to hide who we really are, damaging all of our relationships because we're not being straight up with each other. Because I feel like I can't come to my brother Jason and say, "Brother Jason, I got a problem. I got this sin addiction. It could be I overeat all the time. It could be I overindulge in shopping," which God been working on me on that too, y'all. But it could be that I lust after some man's wife or I lust after, it could be any of those things, but we want to walk around like we don't have any problems. Then we won't talk about it. See, that's the first thing the enemy wants to do. Man, one of the first things the enemy likes to do is like what he did with Eve, but he wasn't even ashamed. He wants to kind of isolate you. See, when you read the scriptures and you read into it, you find that Adam was there. He was at least within arm reach because, you know, it didn't say she had to walk across the garden to give him the fruit. It didn't say she had to throw it to him. No, she gave it to him, which in my head, when I see that, I just make that picture in my mind, she was right next to him. So, but the serpent talked directly to her, and the man did nothing. Did nothing. His house was out of order. A lot of us, again, when we try to hide from God, that's what happens. Our houses are out of order, and you know it is. And that's one of the reasons why we hide from God, because we're ashamed that our house is so out of order. But I want to come back. I want to come back down to earth. I'm going to calm down here because there's a reason you don't hide from God. There's a reason why you don't hide from God. Jason, why would you not hide from God? I'm going to read Lamentations after you finish, but why wouldn't you hide from God?
Well, because I think, like I said before, the solution is found in that relationship with God, not from it, right? The fear that I'm dealing with, the embarrassment that I'm dealing with, the shame that I'm dealing with, the solution for all that is found in God, not hiding from God. And it's taken me, you know, majority of my adult life to see that as I deal with these negative feelings and emotions, that I have to understand, you know, those are from God. And then I have to now take those to God and say, man, how do we deal with this stuff together? And it's helped me develop what I feel like is a healthy respect for my own feelings and emotions, where I don't hide from them, I don't shy from them, but also don't let them dictate and determine, you know, my course of action. You know, so for me, I refuse to hide from God only because I know that that's where all my answers are. You know, no matter how bad things get, no matter how tough things are, my solution is in that, right? So from hiding from God only makes a bad situation worse.
Yes, 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 because what did he do to Adam and Eve? Oh, my goodness. I have to go back and I'll go back to Genesis and read that in a minute, but reasons, you gave all the great reasons why we don't hide from God. But I like to keep it simple. You remember how your mama, she said, "Baby, when you got ready to get your spanking, it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." You know what? It's because he loves us. God has a great love for us. And I struggle to get people to truly believe that when we sin, I struggle to get people to understand that God himself has forgiven you. It is you who have not given yourself, and you can't hide from yourself. Again, you can put on a false face. You can do your thing, but for the same reason you don't hide from God, you don't hide from you. I used to, back in my day when I was a younger man and I wasn't as rooted in the Word of God as I am today, or trying to live for God the way I try to live for God today, I used to say, man, I got to hit some liquid courage because my, you know, I was in the Army and my buddies would like to go out. I didn't even like to go out, but in order for me to go out, I needed some liquid courage. And what is liquid courage? I'm going to tell you, liquid courage is just a drink or two or three. I needed a drink to get the courage to go out and go dancing or go out and just sit at a bar, because this wasn't my thing. So I felt so out of place, not really understanding and knowing that was probably the Holy Spirit telling me I needed to not be in there in the beginning, right? Because, you know what, sure, I'm sure some good things could happen, but nothing good, because I had no good intentions. They had no good intentions, you know. So, but God's love and his grace, God showed me grace. He delivered me from those situations. Yes, I knew I was doing wrong, But I was like, well, society does it. This is society. God said we ought to be in the world, right? We of the world, but we're not to be out here in the world. We shouldn't be living like them. People should know that we are Christians by the way we live. And there are times, I tell you, when I was a younger man, you would not know I was a Christian. You wouldn't. Because I want to cloak the good stuff so people can't take advantage of it. Y'all know how it is. Well, if I don't say something to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, they're going to try to run over me. They're going to try to treat me bad. Listen, God ain't called us to do that. Now, we can put one another in check without all the strife. We just have to do it in a godly manner. We got to figure it out, right? We got to figure it out how to do this by God. And see, another reason I know you can't hide from God is because of his faithfulness towards us. God is so faithful to us. And we've got to just really get, you know, that's a point I can't drive home enough is that, because a lot of times, as I said before, God has forgiven us for whatever it was that we've done, but we haven't forgiven ourselves, and then we want to be upset with God. We want to pretend like, well, God ain't going to forgive me. Well, God, he's so harsh. Oh, well, I can't go to God with this. There is nothing that we cannot go to God with. Why? Because he knows it anyway. We can't hide anything from him. I would read Hebrews 14, but that's a lot of reading. But I do want to say that it says in Hebrews 13, it says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for someone who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember, I won't go into all of those. Remember those in prison, if you yourself were there. Remember also those being as true as if you felt their pain in your bodies. Listen, though. Keep loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality. As the scripture says, you don't know when you're entertaining angels. And that's the beauty in it. Another way you know you can't hide from God, because he will send an angel your way just to kind of get you back together, just to kind of help you get it together. You're not out here by yourself. God never, ever leaves us or forsakes us. He makes a way always for us. And for me, that is the most wonderful thing of all, because I realize that God is never, ever going to leave me or forsake me. You want to know how I know? Because the word says it. The word itself says it. And I get excited when I think about it, because I have to use myself as an example. I was one of those young men growing up. I prayed a lot. I always talked to God. But my mom didn't make me go to church. If I felt like going, I could go or I wouldn't go. And then because of her job and she's working and all this stuff, she couldn't regulate it always. Sometimes I went, sometimes I didn't, but I was constantly in contact with God. I didn't even know I was developing a prayer life. I didn't know that I was strengthening my relationship with God. I didn't know. I was a kid. I'm talking 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Like when I was growing up, I was a nerd, right? I was considered mature for my age. I was very intelligent, so I was told. But I was more of an introvert back then. And all my friends, they didn't really like me much, right? My own brothers didn't like playing with me, right? So I really had to play by myself, right? And I spent a lot of time alone. And in those times alone, when I reflect, now I'm 52, almost 53 years old, I reflect back, and I was developing an unshakable relationship with God. I like to say, this is what I like to say I did as a young kid, because I did not know. I had to step out of my darkness. Where did I have to step into? I had to step into the light. And that's what brings me to the scripture. 1 John chapter 1, 5-9, it says, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. Well, y'all hear that? I almost say that one more time. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. And verse 7 goes on to say, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us all from sin. Verse 8 says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. Y'all know we can't fool God. We can only fool ourselves. And then we got to convince ourselves of the lie. Y'all know how it is. You know where the truth is. And then you have to tell yourself that lie over and over and over and over again. And you still know it ain't the truth, but you walk around like it is the truth. Oh, man, don't get me started. And then verse 9, we're going to close it out with this. In verse 9, it says, but if we confess and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. I want to say this one more time. If we, when we really want to have a true relationship with each other, we got to have a true relationship with God. I can't talk to you, Jason, about loving yourself when I don't love myself. I can't be that guy. I can't be that guy at all. But if I've got a great relationship with God, with Christ, just me, then I can develop all those things I don't have. See, people, I need y'all to understand something. I need everybody to understand this right here. We try to hide from God because we're not perfect. No, we're not ever going to be perfect. God knows it. He sees it. But what we have to understand is that to walk in the light with God, we need fellowship together. The scripture tells us we have to have one another. We need to walk through this together. And if you don't have any people yet that you trust here on earth that you can truly open up to, fellowship that much more with God. I'm going to tell you what you learn from that. When you read the scriptures and you are just all into the word of God and you just spend time talking to God, you at home, you by yourself, it will help you develop your people skills to talk to other people. But I'm just going to say this. Because when I was young and I used to talk to God, sometimes when I would ask a question, I would talk to myself and tell myself what the answer was. But sometimes when I was talking to myself and I gave myself an answer, I look around the room because I know I didn't think of that. You know, I used to think that there was God putting thoughts and words in my head, trying to talk to me. I'm just saying, that's my experience. It may not go like that for everybody, but I think that in order to truly walk with God, we truly have to find true fellowship, because we can't have true fellowship trying to live two lives. It doesn't work like that. You can't be this holier than thou person on Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, and all the rest of the days of the week, don't nobody even know you're a Christian. You can't be this upstanding person 8 hours a day when you go to work. When you get home, you're this tyrant. Well, better than that, you can't have a group of friends, and you've got several groups of friends, and at each group, you turn into a different person. One group of friends, you're this introvert, and you're shy, and you barely can talk. The other group of friends, you're this holier-than-thou person, or you're this meek, you know. And the other group of friends, you're Mr. Know-it-all because you're the jack of all trades. You know your job better than anybody else. No. Time out for that. I don't know if anybody know people like that, but I know several people like that. And I'm saying we have to have true fellowship. Jason, what does true fellowship with another brother look like to you?
I think that to your point, it's about connecting. It's about sharing. It's about making yourself vulnerable. It's about what Adam and Eve didn't do. Being naked and unafraid, right? To expose yourself fully to that person, good, bad, and ugly, you know, and then fully just embrace that, right? So I think that's what true fellowship looks like, and that's just not just with a fellow brother. That's with, you know, people of God, and unfortunately, I feel like sometimes we low key do these spiritual competitions where I can't show you the struggles I have because it may make me look a lot less spiritual than I am, right?
I'm laughing because you know what? You just said a mouthful. You just said a mouthful. You're 100% right, though. 100%. Because I've met people like that. I've met people like that, and it's so disheartening. It's so disheartening because I think that the idea comes from that. But I'll let you finish. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I think you said like that true fellowship, right? It's and I think it goes both ways. It's not just sharing, but being able to be shared with. Right? To look at a brother and sister and whatever struggles they have, to be real with them about it, but to not be like, okay, you know what? You're no better or worse than I am, right? You know, I'm not going to think badly of you because of something you did, right? You know, I may call it a bad decision, right? But I'm not gonna think badly of you, the person, right? And I think that's one of the that's a bigger challenge is that as Christians, you know, how do we see people? And I always try to say to you, I try to see people as God sees them, right? He thinks, I made you wonderfully, but you make mistakes, right? You know, you're a rare and precious treasure. And, you know, and I've gotten many arguments about this. I always say there's no such thing as a bad person, only bad choices. Because God don't make bad people, right? So we try to tell ourselves that the choices we make can change the character of what God created, and it cannot.
Yeah.
It may change the perception, but it doesn't change the nature, right? God makes perfect beings, and we make imperfect choices, and those imperfect choices have adverse impacts on people and sometimes detrimental impacts on people. But at the end of the day, you know, God does not make mistakes, right? So I think that when we talk about true fellowship, it's being able to be naked and afraid and being able to accept other people's nakedness and fear.
I like that. Oh, I got a car for them. 1 second. Okay, sorry. That whole dry mouth thing just kept on. You know, you reminded me of a scripture, Isaiah 46. I believe Isaiah 46 and 4. And he says, and even to our old age, I am he. And even to hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. And what I got out of that when I read that, and the King James Version says it a little differently, but God is saying, I will be your God. No matter what happens, I am your God. And it's because if you don't really understand that, when you go to Isaiah 46 verse 5, it says, to whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? None of this stuff. It goes on to talks about, you know, you have lavish gold in the bags you weigh. You have weights of silver, and you make all of these things your God, but they all fall down. You see, but God is the one who can carry the load. I like people always say to me, especially over these last 3 years. People always say to me, God will never put more on you than what you can bear. And this is my personal experience, but I'm going to tell you, I now have started to make that correction. I say, oh, yeah, he will. Yes, he does. Because, look, if we could bear all the things he put upon us, then what would we have need for him? Why would we have need for God? We wouldn't. So I'm thankful that he has put me in situations where I had to shoulder a load that I couldn't shoulder. I had to give it all to him. I knew it wasn't me. I'm telling you, with all the things that I've gone through just in these, I'm just talking about the last 3 years, there is no way I could have done it myself. There's no way. And that's what I'm trying to get through to people. You know, look, us trying to hide from God our wickedness, our evilness, our whatever we have, our mistrust, our sinful nature. We cannot hide our sin nature from God. Why? Because we were born with it. We were born into this world. It's not our fault that we have to die. We can get mad at Adam and Eve for that if we want to, but God has forgiven them, and he has forgiven all of us. And we've got to understand that. We've got to realize that. I tell you what, I've never been so thankful than to get to a point in my life where I knew I just couldn't do it. Nobody could help me through a situation. It was only God. Hey, listen. You know it's only God when a doctor tells you it's a miracle. This guy's a world-renowned surgeon. Says, we don't know why, but it's a miracle. So I chalk it up to the game. It's a miracle. I don't need no explanation no more. I have the explanation. The explanation is God. Some of us are even afraid to praise God in public. But I tell you what, we'll go to a football game and lose our cotton-picking mind. I bet you we'll go to a track meet and lose our mind. We'll go to a basketball game or any sporting event, or we'll go to a party and we will lose our mind. And God forbid, if somebody tip you over that bag, they really tick you off, you will lose your religion. You won't ever show God that kind of enthusiasm. Oh, let me take that back. I won't say we won't ever show God that enthusiasm, but we don't readily, on a regular basis, show God that enthusiasm. Now, I'm not saying you got to step out of character and start yelling and shouting and screaming, God. Just start doing the things of God. You know what? I'm telling you again. I remember I worked at this place, and it was me and this one guy. He was always talking. He was a missionary in Japan for like 12 years, and he loved his title. And he loved being called a pastor. And we had this girl, we both worked in IT. We had this lady who was one of the administrative assistants. And she really wasn't qualified for the job, but I told her, don't worry, I'll help you. She needed to make all these Excel spreadsheets and these Word documents. She didn't know how to format the stuff. So I just created a few templates, you know what I'm saying? And I sent them to her, and I said, whenever you do something, just hit save as, and then the template will never change. You just use this on everything. The other guy, he had gone over. He had been there for 2-3 years before I even got there, and he would talk to the lady and blah, 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 and they had an interaction. But he was a pretty humble guy, you know, in my opinion. Well, when she left, I never talked to her about God at all. I never talked to her about the church at all. I never brought it in. I let my work speak for me. When she left, she sent both of us an email. And so he said, man, so-and-so sent me an email. He read it to me. I was like, well, that's pretty nice, man. You know what? She always was a nice lady. He's like, yeah, she thanked me for my help. And she says that we were without us, she would have never lasted here that long, blah, blah, blah. I said, wow, man, she sent me an email. Right? And it was almost identical to what she sent him, except in my email, this is where she closed it out. She says, getting to know you has shown me, I'm paraphrasing, that there is a God. God bless you, and thank you so much. I never even talked to her about God. I never openly prayed for it, none of that. I was just who I am, and I treated her in such a way that she already knew I was a Christian. And you know what? That was the greatest compliment she could have paid me. And my buddy, all he said was, well, she didn't mention God to me. It was weird, but that's what happened. And I'm saying this to say, and I'm saying all this to say is when we stop hiding from God, because I hid from God for many a year, when we stop hiding from God, we can open up or step out of the darkness and into the light. And that light that we step into is God. That light that we step into is God. And I want to encourage everybody tonight. You know, if you haven't prayed in a while, drop to your knees. Go ahead and say a prayer. I'm just going to say, Lord, bless everybody. You know, whether they listen to this podcast tonight or they do it tomorrow or whenever, just bless everybody. Because let's stop hiding, especially us brothers. We got to stop trying to hide from God. Stop trying to hide the sin. It's okay. God can expose it if he wants to. But let's go ahead and repent so he doesn't have to expose you. And with that being said, Jason, you got any closing remarks?
No, just like I said, that futile attempt to hide from God, not only is it just a waste of time, because to your point, he's everywhere, but it's a waste of an opportunity to grow closer to him. So that's not hide from God, but just embrace the love and grace that he's already given us.
yes, indeed. I like that word, embrace. Well, y'all know what it is about this time. We're going to go ahead and close out. We got a few more seconds. I just want to leave y'all what we always say. Find something you love, embrace it, chase it, and that is your relentless pursuit. I want to say God bless you, God keep you, we love you, and we'll be back on Friday. God bless you. Everybody have a good, wonderful weekend. Sister Kimmy, if you will.
Mean face. Can't keep me down, see I've been found and I done seen great.